This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Tim Fitzgerald at GoPowerCat.com.
And I'm Scott Chasen with Fog.net.
This is a replay of WIBW's TV show, The Drive.
Here's this week's episode on the 24/7 Sports Podcast Network.
Good evening, Wildcat and Jayhawk fans, and welcome to The Drive, sponsored by Briggs Auto Group. I am Tim Fitzgerald at GoPowerCat.com, and the man across the studio from me is Scott Chasen of Fog.net. Scott, this is it, last show of the year.
Last one of the year. It's nice to be actually back here. I know we were concerned, depending on how the tournament went. I could have been in Indy still, but it's nice to see your face today.
It's got to be. It really is. Later in the show, we'll update you. Did I come back in the predictions from 40 games down? Stay tuned for that. You can interact with us on social media at facebook.com/TheDriveShow, on Twitter at TheDrive13, and of course, answer our weekly poll question, make your game predictions on our Twitter page. And remember, if you ever miss an episode of The Drive, you can listen to an audio-only version that will appear each Monday morning in the form of a podcast at both GoPowerCat and Fog.net. And that will be Monday for the last time this year, because it's the last show. We'll start things off with our two-minute drill. The two-minute drill is sponsored by Vanderbilt's Your Work Boots Center. Well, Scott, KU's basketball season came to an end with a blowout loss to USC. What did you make of this year for KU? Was it a success or failure?
Well, Fitz, this was a question we kind of approached in the weeks leading up to the end. You know, what would make this a success? What did KU have to accomplish? I don't think you can call this year a success for KU, just for the simple fact that KU really didn't accomplish anything if you think about it. I mean, they didn't win the Big 12 regular season. They didn't win the Big 12 tournament, obviously had to withdraw from that. They didn't make the second weekend of the NCAA tournament because of a very, very good and probably very, very underseeded USC team that entered, obviously, entered the Sweet 16 as a top 10 team, according to KenPom, actually number 6 in the country. So Isaiah Mobley, Evan Mobley, the Mobley brothers, very, very impressive. Kansas did well to kind of get past its first NCAA tournament game, but that luck quickly ran out. I think the COVID issues, Fitz, really hurt the program down the stretch of the season. Now, when I think about Kansas basketball, what to kind of make of this season, I again view this in the context of a rebuilding year because that's what this was for Kansas. If last year's Kansas team had gone on to win a national championship or certainly make a Final Four, I mean, it ended the year as the number one team by a pretty big margin in college basketball, I think we would all collectively view this Kansas team differently. It would be a more defined rebuilding team instead of a kind of an unfinished business type of vibe that came because COVID shut down the postseason. This Kansas team earned a 3 seed. It finished second in the Big 12 against to a very good Baylor team that Kansas did beat. It didn't lose in the Big 12 tournament. The Jayhawks withdrew after a positive COVID-19 test. I think those things are building blocks. Those things can be positives. I just think it's so hard to view it as a success, Fitz, when you don't really win anything. And again, that's kind of where the Jayhawks were. Rebuilding year, not a terrible year. 3 seed is fine. 2nd in the Big 12 is fine. But I don't know if there's any way to call this one a success.
Yeah, it was a strange year, out of character year for Bill Self's program. And I really appreciated how candid he was in that postgame press conference against the Trojans about how they just weren't athletic and long enough, which is an odd thing for KU basketball.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more here in a little bit. Well, Fitz, K-State finished the season playing its best basketball of the year. But there was talk of Bruce Weber not returning next season. Certainly, we've talked about that on this show a bunch. What's the latest on K-State basketball here?
Well, they are aggressively recruiting, mostly through the transfer portal right now. They've got about 4 open scholarships. Mike McGurl has decided to come back, but that's kind of neat because he won't count towards the scholarships as a returning senior. So K-State can really supplement itself here by getting some players out of the transfer portal. The problem is they're looking for 2 guards. They kind of want to go to, three shooting guards out there on the floor together with McGirl and Pack and someone else. And that's a premium right now. There's a lot of good ones out there, but there's even more programs looking for that, including Kansas is searching for the same type of player. I'll be intrigued to see if they take a couple players out of the portal, which I think would be advisable. Maybe, a stretch four if they can find one. I think there's a couple in there. Again, that is an in-demand, an athletic four-spot guy. A lot of teams want that. K-State finished strong. There's no doubt about it. They were playing their best basketball of the year. They kind of had their guys together. But as soon as the season was over, both of the Gordons decided to transfer. Along with Rudy Williams, and it opened up just a bunch of scholarships, and it's just been a venture into the unknown, because they have to get much better next year, and they do have some nice pieces, but Scott, I don't know, they had enough pieces to really take the kind of step Bruce Weber will need to continue on after next season. They really are shorthanded on pure scores. They don't really have any. Maybe Nigel Pack is, but they've got to get some more guys. They just can't score enough, and that's a symptom of Bruce Weber basketball as a total. I mean, they're never really elegant to watch on offense. It's all about defense. They got really good at defense as the year progressed, but winning a combined 7 Big 12 games over a two-year period is pretty atrocious. They're the worst back-to-back seasons in program history, and improvement has to come radically next year by winning more than 7. In 1 year, your accomplishment for 2 years. So it's a lot of progress needs to be made, Scott.
Yeah, fits a little bit of uncertainty for different reasons with Kansas and Kansas State. Now you're seeing coaching changes all over the Big 12 already. What? Iowa State, Oklahoma, Texas. It's shaping up to be a pretty crazy offseason, I think, for a lot of Big 12 schools.
It really will be. Well, Scott, the Big 12 was down to Baylor heading into the Sweet 16, and Baylor is still dancing into the Elite Eight. What do you make of the path for the Bears the rest of the way?
Well, it looks good if you're Baylor. You're probably going to be tested here in this next round, maybe by Arkansas, but Arkansas hasn't impressed me. Baylor has. Baylor looks like the Baylor that was, the Baylor before the COVID-19 break. The Baylor that was winning all of its games by double figures, didn't play a game closer than, I think, 8 points. That was the margin of the KU game, only after a walk-on hit a three-point buzzer beater to make some folks in Las Vegas and other areas pretty unhappy. But the thing that impresses me so much about Baylor, obviously they have shot-making guards. You see Jared Butler just pulling up and knocking in a shot there. They have athletes. They have the ability to lock in defensively and absolutely wreck a game. They have so many good players, good college veteran guys I think will be pro ball players. But when they're not making shots, you almost don't even notice it sometime. I looked up in that Villanova game they just won, and Fitz Baylor was, I think, 3 of 18 or 3 of 19 from 3, a horrible percentage. That type of percentage had Kansas losing by 25 to Texas in Allen Fieldhouse, except Baylor was up like 10. And that just speaks to the level that Baylor, this gear that they can hit that no one else can, because what Baylor can do defensively, while maybe it hasn't been as consistent on the year, and certainly as of late since the COVID pause, it really seemed to affect them defensively. When they get into you, especially those guards, they make it impossible to dribble. They have three guys on the perimeter that I think challenge and just do a better job of making you uncomfortable than probably any collection of guards that, Fitz, we've seen in a long time. Maybe Kansas last year with Devon Dotson, Marcus Garrett, and Ochai Agbaji, maybe. But even then, there's a little bit of a drop-off. This Baylor team is so good defensively, can shoot the ball so well. I love their pieces. Their path isn't that hard the rest of the way. It'll be a double-digit seed if they can get through Arkansas. I think they've got a great shot here.
Man, it's been a weird year, and it came right into the NCAA tournament. You would have thought the Big 12 and the Big 10 would have had more teams advance, but now they both have one seeds that have made it to the Elite Eight. And so for all the upsets we've seen, we could still end up with 3 1 seeds in the Final Four, so it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Now a quick look at your poll question results. The poll questions are brought to you by Midland Exteriors. Love the home you live in. Call today for a free estimate.
Well, last week's question was, what was the biggest surprise of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament? We'll go to your results on a couple pages here. First, Oral Roberts over Ohio State, about a quarter of people, 26%. Abilene Christian over Texas, that got 16% of the vote. C, Syracuse upsets West Virginia, another 16%. And the winner, I think this is the right call, Fitz. Mm-hmm. So many people had him in their national championship games, myself mm-hmm. included. Illinois upset by Loyola, Chicago, the Ramblers, 42% of people saying that was the biggest surprise.
You mentioned three seeds, three number one seeds may make it to the Final Four. Illinois was the fourth. Here is this week's question. How will Baylor's basketball season end? And here are your answers. Pretty simple. They're going to win the national title. They'll get to the game for the national title but lose. They will lose in the Final Four semifinals, or they're going to lose their next game in the Elite Eight. Make sure you vote on our Twitter page at The Drive 13.
Well, that will do it for this half of the two-minute drill, but we will be right back with more on KU and K-State on The Drive.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to The Drive as we continue our weekly two-minute drill. And the two-minute drill is sponsored by Vanderbilt's Your Work Boot Center. Scott, we talked about the last season to start off the show. What about next year? How different will the KU basketball roster look?
Well, Fitz, you mentioned it. After the USC game, Bill Self said, you know, athletic, longer. He wants to see some changes take place with this KU basketball roster. Now, in terms of departing players that we know for certain right now, Marcus Garrett would be the expected one. I guess technically we don't know. He could take advantage of an NCAA given kind of extra year for all seniors to return, but most likely he's going to be moving on. So from there, you look at the highlights of this game, KU-TCU, that took place in Fort Worth. And why did we pick these highlights to show you? Well, Marcus Garrett didn't play in this game. This was DeJuan Harris running the show at the point guard position. And if the Kansas roster, if it stays as currently constructed, this is largely what the team would look like. And obviously, this was a very impressive win for Kansas. I think the Jayhawks won by 30. TCU, obviously, not the best team this year, and this was a game where it all came together from Kansas. But, you know, someone who played really well in this game was Tristan Annarunna, a sophomore wing who really had a quiet kind of first 2 years, actually played less this year, if you can believe it, than last year, though mostly because of more players and more pieces on the team. Tristan Annarunna is a guy that I think there were high hopes for coming in, high expectations for him. The belief and ability that he could play didn't really materialize on the court this year. In the second game, the return meeting against TCU, Tyon Grant Foster was huge. He played a very big second half for the Jayhawks. I believe had 9 points, 5 rebounds. He's another one. Didn't really play as much as the year went on. If you're talking about departures and additions to the roster, for every player KU adds from here, someone will have to depart. The Jayhawks are basically full on scholarships with who they're adding, who they're losing. So every name the Jayhawks bring in, for example, Brandon McKissick, a transfer out of UMKC, Ty Washington, a high school player still available late in the class, that would mean one more departure. I think those are the two names you probably start with. If you're looking at guys who are going to exit the program just because of the simple factor of that, they didn't play. But you know if the guy's returning, you're probably going to have Ochai Agbaji back. You're going to have Jalen Wilson. You're going to have Christian Brown. You're going to have David McCormick. You're going to have Bryce Thompson. Fitz, I see Kansas probably as a top five, top 10 team entering the next year, especially if those guys improve. You land a couple of transfers or, you know, the right high schooler, maybe that gets up a little higher. But I do think Kansas has a lot of good pieces coming back.
I like how you only address basketball because nobody knows what football will look like because nobody knows who will be the coach.
Mm-hmm.
What a mess.
Well, Fitz, the K-State sports season was a bit disappointing. What do you think next year will look like for Wildcat football and also Wildcat basketball?
Well, I'll start with football first, Scott. It was a weird year on the football side because K-State started off 4-1, including a really impressive comeback win at Oklahoma that seemed to set the tone for a big season for K-State, and it fell apart not long after that. A couple more wins, and then K-State really came apart at the seams. It was a weird year for K-State football. They were fighting some depth issues. They had some COVID issues. And honestly, they had some locker room issues where they had a bad mix of guys. And most of those guys are now gone through the transfer portal. People ask me all the time, whether it's friends or just people I see out and about in town, What will K-State football be like? Because everyone's so uncertain right now about the future of the football program. You're going into year three of a new coach. Year one was pretty good, and year two was a step backwards. You don't want to see the program sliding. Well, the good news is Deuce Vaughn's back. He, you know, can get another year if he wants to. He's listed as a sophomore for right now. And Skylar Thompson's back, and that's really the big key here, is since the senior quarterback got hurt, he was being afforded a new season no matter what, like any other player. But he's able to come back, and he wanted to because of that injury. And anytime you got a veteran quarterback, you're at a big advantage. Now, the storyline on the hardwoods is a little bit different. K-State was not good for most of the year and then surged at the end, which is the opposite of football. They have a couple really, really nice freshman pieces in Nigel Pack and Davion Bradford. There's other good freshmen. But notice the theme here, Scott. There's a great freshman running back coming back for another year, some really promising freshman basketball players. So I think the program's future, program's plural, future is looking really good for K-State basketball. I also really like Selton Miguel, who I think will only get better and better. And they, too, have a senior coming back in Mike McGurl, who's taking advantage of what you talked about with Andrew Wiggins, the kind of the COVID-exempt year for any senior that wants to come back and be a senior again. I wish I had done that, and I wasn't even an athlete. But I'm very optimistic. I think K-State sports kind of bottomed out in 2020, 2021, and we're going to see them start coming back up next season, and it should be fun to watch. But they do have some young players that are going to be around for a long time, and that always makes you hopeful.
Yeah, that is one thing KU and K-State share, both sports, really, some good young talent.
Yep. And now we step out of bounds, and Out of Bounds is brought to you by Copeland Insurance Agency, part of your community for more than 60 years.
Well, Fitz, as we're taping this, we know 6 of the 8 teams that'll be in the Elite Eight. So let's get your updated pick here. What do you have for your national title game?
I'm going to do a complete 180 on myself, Scott. I wanted to see what Gonzaga could do, stepping out of the conference and playing out of the conference. And granted, I thought the West was the weakest regional. They had the easiest path to get to the Final Four. They are absolutely demolishing everyone in their path. Oklahoma, I thought, played a really good game. It's probably the best game Oklahoma's played down the stretch. They struggled so much. They played a really crisp game. They did what they wanted to on offense. They defended as well as they could on defense. And they never stood a chance. I had picked Illinois to win because Illinois was doing that to people down the stretch of their season. And then, you know, Loyola Chicago got them, which was, you know, typical shocker from them. And then they fell apart. I'm going to go with Gonzaga, which might doom the Zags. But I think Gonzaga is really showing itself to be the best team in the country. But now I would like to see a Final Four with the best remaining teams. I would like it to be Michigan, Baylor, Loyola, and I think Houston would be the other one. Let's warm this thing up and let's see what it really looks like in that Final Four.
Houston and Michigan being the other two there. Well, Fitz, I agree. I think maybe coming into the tournament, this might be exaggeration, but there were like 6-7 teams tops with the roster to take down Gonzaga more often than like 20% of the time, something like that. A few of those teams are already gone. I think Iowa was probably in that category. I think Illinois was certainly in that category. There aren't many teams left that I think can test the Zags, but certainly seeing Baylor and Gonzaga, seeing Michigan in there, I think that's what people should be hoping for.
And Scott, there was a lot of upsets in the early rounds of the tournament. You know, a lot of teams knocked off other teams and made it into the Sweet 16, and then they stunk. I mean, that Loyola game was awful to watch. Yeah. It was just awful basketball. And it hasn't been a satisfying second weekend so far. The games haven't been particularly close, so I'd really like a nice Final Four.
Well, now let's hear from the fans.
Our fan question this week is, Scott, how long until Kansas has a new AD or an ad? Maybe they're coming out with a new ad campaign. I don't know. Michael in Eudora asked that question.
Well, look, I think Kansas has wanted to have a new AD in place. The Jayhawks pushed back spring practice to March 30th with the hope of getting a new AD in who could then make a decision on how they were going to proceed with that. Obviously, Emmett Jones is the interim coach, and the longer this thing goes, the better it probably looks for him, the chance to maybe stay on and coach through the year or get the chance to go into the summer, at least as an interim coach. Sounds like you know, maybe within the next week, news could be coming sooner rather than later. A couple names, Mike Herrity, Army Deputy AD, Travis Goff, who's at Northwestern, both have ties to Kansas, both have been successful, and both come with their own ties to different college football candidates. Obviously, Jeff Munkin being the most notable, the guy at Army, if you don't know, he runs kind of a triple option system there, although I have heard he would adapt it some if he ended up coming to Kansas. So maybe a little early to start talking about football coaching and who's going to get hired there, but I do think next week or so on that AD, I would expect there to be movement.
Okay, I got follow-up questions. Is the uncertainty hanging over Kansas sports? Football doesn't have a coach, and basketball has that lingering NCAA investigation. Is that preventing AD candidates from wanting the job?
I don't know that it necessarily is, but I think the general nature of not having a football coach combined with not having an AD, combined with Bill Self having 1 year left on his deal, combined with what you just mentioned, the NCAA, I mean, that means you have to nail this hire. Yeah. Like, you can't do a C job with this hire and just, you know, hey, everything's going well and just get someone competent and what. No, you have to do a good job because this person's got to figure out basketball, football, and so much else. So I do think that maybe is part of it, but I do think they have some good candidates. The two I mentioned, I think, are both certainly qualified. So I think they've got a few good names in there.
I would stay the course with an interim football coach and see what happens. It worked out in basketball for Wichita State. Say that.
Well, remember to ask us your questions on our Facebook page and on Twitter at The Drive 13. When we return, we'll take a look. We'll review our yearly predictions here on The Drive.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back as we head down the home stretch of this week's show, our last show of the season. It's time to take a look at our predictions and how we fared throughout the year. Let's look at those overall results for the season. Oh my gosh. Last week, we all went 1-2, thus foiling my comeback. Scott, I don't think anyone's ever come as close, anywhere close to how bad my year was.
You know what? I would say this. If you only watch the show this year, you'd be like, wow, you know, Fitz is really bad at this. I'm really good at this. If you watched it last year, you would actually have the opposite because I was in Fitz's position. Fitz was in my position. That tends to make me think this year was just a little bit more crazy.
I don't mean to brag, but my picks changed the money in Vegas dramatically because every time I'd make a pick, everyone would bet the other one and people got wealthy. Well, it's time for our On the Clock segment, and On the Clock is sponsored by Carpet One, by local for a strong local community, and start with Mr. Scott Chasen.
Well, Fitz, speaking of picks, you mentioned it. Emmett Jones could be a pick to ride out the year as Kansas football coach. He's the interim coach. He's very much well-liked by players. We've discussed that some 20 players campaigned for him to get that interim position on social media leading up to that announcement. I've checked in with recruits. I've checked in with people who have a very high opinion of him and want to see him get his chance. May not be the best thing for the program, it may be, but the longer this thing goes, the greater a chance you have to get into the summer, to get in the season with Emmett Jones. I don't think that would be a bad thing necessarily for Kansas. That gives you a chance to hire a coach on a more normal timeline, maybe in November, maybe after the year. Who knows? Maybe it goes really well and you keep him.
Well, big news out of Manhattan this week was Athletics Director Gene Taylor got an extension of his contract and a healthy raise through 2027. Congratulations to Gene. We can look down the road from Manhattan to Lawrence and see what uncertainty an athletic director can do for your department. Well, K-State's got a steady hand at the wheel. Yeah, he's got some things he's got to fix, but I think he's a good man to make those corrections. That's it for this season of The Drive, and we'll see you next year right here and all the time on social media.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.